As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us. Amen. We'd like for you to take a moment and just look around and notice that there were some that was with us on last year that are not with us at this time. On last Sunday, I was not here. Sister Janetta Cook was. And many of you had an opportunity to talk with her and maybe had a chance to laugh with her. Well, and she shared some things with some of you. A couple of weeks ago, she was diagnosed with liver and pancreatic cancer. She was able on last week to get around by herself, and the doctors had given her 3 months to live. Well, on Monday, she went down fast. She is still going down fast. She is not the Sister Janetta Cook that you laughed and talked with. And as I said to someone this morning, it's good to see you. And they replied, as Sister Janetta would, it is good to be seen. Amen. Her life is coming to an end. Sister Tam is requesting prayers that she may be comforted, that she may not be in pain, and that she may go soon. So we're asking that you pray for her. You keep her in prayer. Amen. That Sister Tam may be strengthened and Sister Janetta may be comforted. Yes. If you have the time, send her a message or give her a call. She may not answer. She may not reply. And that's because she has her hands full. Amen. This is not her first, as we would say, not her first rodeo. She has gone through this before with other family members, and she is still holding strong. She is still trusting in God for His comfort, His blessings. And so we're asking that you continue to pray for her and to pray for the family. She wanted me to announce that again. Brother Thanopoulos announced it, but some of you were not here on Wednesday to know the extent of what was going on with her having liver and pancreatic cancer. And that is not the only parts of her body that the cancer is in. So just keep them in prayer. Keep them in prayer. Amen. On this morning, we are going to look at the topic, what pleases God? What pleases God? This is a very interesting subject. Because a lot of times we as people, we do and say what we please, thinking that it is all right with God. But I'm here to share with you this morning that all that we think is right is not right. All the attention that we desire, we do not need. As the scripture reference was read from Psalms 115, we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read further than verse 3. That is Psalm 115, starting with the first verse. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love, and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that pleases Him. Now, I'm going to stop there, but we're going to read a little bit further. I want you to understand that before we read the rest of what I want to read this morning, is that there is knows but one God that we should recognize. Amen. There's one God that we should give glory to. There is one God that does what he pleases. Only one. Only one. Now listen to the question there in verse 2. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Now the answer is going to be given to you. Now I want you to recognize that answer, because a lot of times we ask the same question, but we are referring to the one and only God that can do whatever he pleases to do. He can do all things, and we as Christians should not question him. Amen. But the Gentiles, the other nations, they had every right to say this, because the gods that they were worshiping was no God at all. Verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, and do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel. They have feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. You want to talk about something worthless? Right there. Right there. The answer from the Word of God in reference to these idols, these false gods. Now, you know what Psalm would say? That's God's Word. He can say that about them gods because it's his word. But you want me to tell you what other people say? Other people say that this Bible, this word, was written by man. That it is not God's word. Which is it? Which is it? Which would you prefer it to be? I don't know about anybody else here this morning, but I prefer it to be the word of God. Amen. I don't want to depend on something that I have to carve out. I don't want to depend on something that has ears and has a nose and has eyes and has a mouth and has hands and has feet, but cannot move itself, cannot speak for itself. God speaks for himself. Verse 3 again, our God in the heavens, not on the shelf, not in some beauty salon, not some God that you can bow down to that and you pray to that can't answer you. But the Bible says our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases. How thankful are you for that? Brother Simmons, in his prayer, we should give God thanks. He is worthy to be praised for all that he has done for us. One of the things that we need to realize on this morning when we start talking about what God has done for us is that he gave us his son. Amen. He gave us his son so that we may be able to live. Now we have to pay attention again to what is being said. Again, you know, I try my best when somebody is praying on my behalf to listen to what they're praying, to listen to the words that they're saying to our God. It is not a personal prayer. It's a public prayer. That individual is praying on our behalf. Jesus had no sin. Jesus did what the Father wanted him to do. And we're going to look at that in just a moment as well. And we should be thankful for what God allowed him to go through. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Again, he does what pleases him. And the Bible says right here in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know, a lot of people don't understand pain. A lot of people don't understand why they're going through what they're going through when they're going through it. Jesus, he understood pain. He understood why he was going through what he was going through at the right time. Here, Isaiah is just prophesying what was going to happen. And we as children of God, we read what happened and we're thankful that it happened. Why did God send his son? He sent his son as you have heard many times and you will continue to hear if the word of God is being proclaimed as being true. That he sent his son in order to save his people from their sins. His people knew exactly who he was. His people knew exactly what he was capable of doing. His people. But at one time, the Gentiles didn't realize these things. They didn't realize how good they would have it because of the love that God has for the world. Scriptures teach us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, we as a people today, not a nation, but we as a people today should be thankful that God does what pleases him. Amen. He preserved mankind. Adam and Eve, he could have, they want to be disobedient. I don't need them. I have the animals. That wasn't God, was it? No, he loved mankind. He clothed them before putting them out of the garden. When the wickedness of mankind came up before God in the days of Noah, God loved mankind. It pleased him in order to have that flood to come in order to destroy all of mankind except for Noah and his family so that man may continue to live and populate the earth. Even when his chosen people, the children of Israel, were disobedient, it pleased him to save only a remnant in order that they may be obedient. And then it pleased him to send his son to die on the cross of Calvary in order that you and I as Gentiles may be saved. Well, we don't have to ask the question, why should the nation say, where is their God? We don't have to ask that question anymore as a Gentile because we know where our God is. We know he sits high and he looks low. We know that his son is on his right hand. We know that there's a place that has been prepared for those that are prepared. We know this. Amen. By what the scriptures say. And we continue to think about what pleases God, and we need to understand that it pleases him that everything that he says is carried out. Everything that he says is carried out. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. So many people say, I might as well go and do what I want to do and ask for forgiveness later. You may not live to ask for forgiveness. Amen. So why not be obedient? Why not do what the Bible says? Here in the book of Matthew chapter 7, the Bible, when we look and we talk about what God has done, it teaches us here in Matthew 7. Let's start with verse 1 and come down. It says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So what pleases God? What pleases Him? It pleases Him that we look at our own lives. And we see the things that we need to do, and we do those things. And again, it's not for us. You go again back to Psalm 115 in verse 1 and notice there what he says again. See, we have to know it's not always about us. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. To your name give glory. How do we know how to behave? How do we know how to behave? We read the word of God and we do what he says. Amen. So therefore, again, we step back, we look at our lives, and then we look around and we observe those individuals that are around us, and we can help them because we have done what we know to be right. We have removed the log from our eye in order to see the speck in your brother's eye. Now, I've experienced this, and many of you have as well. All of us should have experienced it. I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear this very carefully. If you close your eyes, you see nothing. Nothing. If you have a log in your eye, you can't see. You can't see. We sometimes cry because we get a little speck in our eye. We cry when some dust gets in our eyes and we can't get it out, and tears begin to fall. And why do those tears fall? Those tears fall not because you're in pain sometimes. Those tears come out because it is trying to wash out what you have in your eyes. God's word can do that for us this morning. Because it pleases him for us to look at what he says and do the things that are right. Our Lord and our Savior had no problem with being obedient to his Father. No problem whatsoever, as mankind has today with their earthly fathers. We have problems with obeying. I remember the times when I was a teenager, my dad would tell me something. I would look at him and tell him, "You don't know anything." The tables were turned when my dad had an operation and he had one of his legs amputated. He had both of them, but when he had the first one amputated, he was going through some things and he was being delusional sometimes. And he would ask, in his delusional state, for me to do something. And I would look and I would say, "There's nothing over there." And then he repeated the words in which I repeated to him. He said, "You army people don't know nothing." And I was a little hurt from that. But he was delusional when he said it. But I'm not going to really say I was in my right mind when I told him that. But I have to think, how did he feel when I told him that he didn't know anything? See, we have to know that when our Father, and not our earthly fathers, but when our Father tells us to do something, our Heavenly Father, we should do it. Because he knows all things. In John chapter 8 and the verse is 29. John chapter 8 and the verse is 29. The Bible says, And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Now, we can't say that, can we? That we have always done the things that pleased our father, our mothers, our elders. We can't say that we have always did the things that were right, but Jesus could. That is the reason why we can say that he was without sin. Because if a person has been disobedient to their parents, they are not without sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus never, ever committed a sin. Never. He did all that the Father commanded him. Obedient unto death. Because that's what the Father sent him to do. To die for the sins of the world. And we need to accept that. He accepted it. Why do we not accept it? Why do we not accept it? In the book of Micah, the chapter is 6. Micah chapter 6. When we think about our Lord and we think about our Savior and we think about the things that we need to do and the things, again, that are pleasing to God. How important, I want to ask you, how important is it to be obedient unto Him? See, sometimes we find that it is easy to be disobedient. We find that it is easy to walk the way we want to walk and do the things that we want to do and say the things that we want to say. But it's not the case. It's not the things that please God in order for us to act the way we want to act. And behave in a manner that God is not pleased with. Brother Glenn, read that for us, if you would. In Micah 6:8.
Okay, this is going to be from Amplified. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, and to love kindness and mercy, and to humble yourself, and walk humbly with your God.
If you don't know, you don't know. But He has shown you, shown exactly what He desires to do just and kind, because this is what's right. You know, when we walk the way we want to walk, you know, a lot of times we laugh at people how they walk, how they sometimes they strut, sometimes they mope around, and we laugh at those things. But when a man is walking the way God wants him to walk, there's nothing funny about it. It's a serious matter. And this is what pleases Him, for us to look at what has been shown to us and be obedient unto those things. There's no better way to live. We should always desire to please God.
Amen.
You know, when some man tells you to do something, when your peers tell you to do something and you want to please them because you are seeking their approval, you do all in your power that you can. But when God tells us to do something, what do we do? What do we do? See, man can't judge you on the last day. He can judge you all day long right here up on this earth. But on the last day, man cannot judge you. God is going to judge you according to how you have walked. So let's do what's right. Let's be the people that He wants us to be. What is God pleased with? In the book of Hebrews, the chapter is 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, I mentioned about the author of the book of Hebrews. A lot of time we wonder who wrote this book. Why did they say the things that they have said? God is the author. And here is what He says in Hebrews chapter 11, and the verse is 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He is, or He exists, and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. What pleases Him? For an individual to have faith, that's what pleases Him. How, again, we have to know, how do we gain faith? Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, how many movies are out there and somebody come to you and they say, have you seen this movie? Or you need to see this movie. And you're like, I'm not interested in that. How many books are out there? And someone say, this is a very good read. You need to read this book. Matter of fact, let me purchase this book for you. Let me give you this book as a gift. And you take that book and you put it on the shelf somewhere and say, I'm not interested in that. Or how many people have received letters and you never opened those letters? You just put them over there in a pile of other letters that you have never opened. And you say, I'm not interested in what that person has to say. The Bible says again in Hebrews 11 and 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, here is what pleases him, to have faith. And how do we gain that faith? We gain that faith by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know who cannot hear the word of God? Do you remember? Those idols that have ears but cannot hear. They can't hear the word of God. You know who cannot speak the word of God? Those idols that have mouths. But yet, they make no sound. You know who cannot see the word of God? Those idols that have eyes but cannot see. We need to understand that we as a people need to hear the word of God. Amen. And we need to be obedient unto the word of God. We don't want to be like a God, but we want to be like God. We want to be holy because he is holy. We want to be just or treat people just because he is just. We want to be where he is. How are we going to get there? By living faithful. By doing what is right. That's the only way that we're going to get there. Staying obedient unto him. This is what pleases God. You know, man, sometimes again, they want to pull you away from God. They want to say, you should not worship him the way you're worshiping me. You should not spend all that time with him. Well, who better to spend time with than God? Amen. You know, we make plans to spend time with this person, with that person. And a lot of times we even have the amount of time that we're going to spend with them. Well, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to spend about an hour or two with you. And then I'm going to go over here and I'm going to spend an hour or two with them. You know, we should be making plans to spend our eternity with God. Because God wants to spend eternity with us. And if we're not there, he's going to be there. Don't be left out. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 19. By this we shall know that we are the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Now, I want you to think about this passage just for a moment. Think about it. And actually, you should think about it all the time. Doing what is right. Not allowing our hearts to condemn us. You know, a lot of times we always think back about Saul, how all that Saul did, he did it with a clear conscience. You know, a lot of times that's us. We do things thinking that we're doing what's right, and our heart does not condemn us. But when we learn the truth, we should be willing to change. We should be willing not to go back and do the things that we did in times past that was displeasing to God, but do the things that were right. Again, he says, whenever our heart condemns us, in verse 20, whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. That man or that woman that says, God knows my heart. He does. He knows your heart. He knows if you are in the right frame of mind or not. He knows if your worship is in spirit and in truth or not. He knows when you tell someone that you love them, whether you love them or not. God knows this because he knows everything. Amen. You know, we've met some people that we thought knew everything. Thought. See, we as a people, again, we don't know everything. We can never know everything. You know, just think about, you know, and don't nobody say anything slick out there. Just think about how big your head would be if you knew everything. Just think about that. I know some of y'all thinking about that, right? God knows everything. Amen. He does not have a big head, but he knows everything. What we need to know is that he has a big heart. To love us. Even when we cannot love ourselves, he loves us. And he wants the best for us. So let's do what's right. Let's know again that our God, he does what pleases him. And again, it pleased him to send his son to die for our sins. It pleases him when we look at our own lives and we do what is right in order that we may help the next man. See, if someone come to you and ask you, and I'm not going to say a big amount, if someone come to you and ask you for $10 and you don't have it, you can't give it. We do what we can do when we're able to do it. Let's know again that God can do all things. Jesus did what pleased the Father. He came to live as we live. He came in order to be talked about, to be persecuted, but yet still willing to go to the cross because that's what God wanted him to do. His Father. Are you doing what is right? Are you walking the way God wants you to walk? Are you doing what's just? Are you showing kindness to individuals? If you're not, you need to consider doing so. Because our time is running out. We're on borrowed time. Amen. And you've heard me say from time to time, when you borrow something, you need to give it back. And you don't have to think about giving your life back because God is going to require our lives of us one day. The scriptures teach us in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. We're on borrowed time. We don't borrow time. And what pleases God is that we do what is right. Let's continue to be obedient because he's looking at our hearts. The outside doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's what's on the inside that counts. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, do not hesitate. Do not delay. Do not put off. Do not say, I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it next year. Do it today. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And then live the way God would have you to live. Continuing to grow. Continuing to be faithful. Continuing to love like he has loved us. If you're here and you're straight away, we're asking you to come back. Come back because if you die out there in the world, there's no place for you in the kingdom. So let's do what's right. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.